It's stuck.
That's a cut.
We're cutting, everybody.
Continuity by Bess Wall. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
Hi, this is the Corin Tucker Band, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and all over the world at kpfk.org.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you. For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Yes, and it's Friday, and we are back, the Pocho Hour Power, live on the air. What's happening, everybody? It seems like I'm in an echo chamber. I don't know where these bottles are. They left me alone with the keys to the monkey house. And so here you have it. I am Esteban Sewell. It's a nice Friday afternoon here in Los Angeles, and things are getting down. We're here for you, as always. I'm not sure if we have our radio antenna up. I know it was down last week. I sure hope it got fixed. But if not, we will be speaking into the void, which is always very interesting. So this week, this Friday, we have Patricia Guadalupe, who's standing by. We'll be talking to her very shortly. We'll see what's going down with all of the goings on over in Washington, all the trouble. I mean, we have demolition, we have food stamps and collapse, we have a nation in the fray. I mean, I don't think we have much to talk about, but we'll get something out of her, because I'm sure Patricia will always find something to talk about when it comes to these kinds of things when we have just, you know, a slow news day. But I think we have someone else on the line. Is anybody else there?
Hey, happy Halloween, everybody. I was out chasing Stephen Miller with a cross on some onion and, oh, no, garlic, and back into his crypt. So how's everybody doing? It's Lalo.
Everybody is me, Lalo. It's just me and you today. Jeffrey is out.
He's playing the Super Bowl.
That's right.
The high school Super Bowl today.
That's right. Is it the championship?
It's more like the end of an era.
It's going to be his last gig, I think, coaching high school football.
That's right. His last game, soon to be a Netflix special.
They're going to have to send his jersey into the rafters.
Yeah, whatever that means. Cool. It's going to be an interesting Halloween with, out in, L.A., they're still chasing people in our community around the ICE, and in Chicago, they asked the governor, Governor Pritzker asked Kristi Noem, please, can you pull your ICE troops today? And she said, are you kidding? This is like our best day. We're going to get all kinds of Mexican candy today.
Oh, my God.
They're going to go chase kids and torment parents. And well, what the hell? I'm sick of this.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, they are real-life monsters. That's what's happening.
They are. Yeah, Kristi Noem is La Llorona. And she's out there chasing her kids, and Stephen Miller, like I said, is a vampire, and the white pride of Santa Monica.
La sangrona.
La meona.
That's right. Man. Yeah, well, she likes to play dress up, right? She likes to get all military duds and grab a gun.
Yeah, that's right. They should not let her have a live weapon, you know.
Yeah, to her it is a costume. But yep, to us, she is a real life monster.
That's right. And it's going to be interesting Halloween with that. But man, every day is a little too interesting. But we do have a great show. You already talked about Patricia. She's going to join us. And we also have Russell Contreras from Axios out in New Mexico right now and a little later. And it's going to be a great show. You never know who will call in. Not Jeff Keller, but other than that, yeah.
He's calling in the plays.
He's calling in the plays. So what are you doing? He's going to be yelling at the kids. Oh, man. That was my worst Jeff Keller impersonation ever.
I thought he was on the line for me.
He's on the first down line. That's what he is. All right. Well, I guess maybe we should strike up the band.
Well, we can get him up. We can get him on.
Patricia Guadalupe, Bojo correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello, hello, folks. Again, here we are. Happy Halloween to those who celebrate. And I want to ask you, Lalo, how effective is it to chase Stephen Miller with a cross when he's Jewish?
He manages to be.
You might want to chase him with, you know, something else besides that, you know,
a mirror.
Yeah. I mean, all joking aside, it is a really scary time out there because of exactly what you were talking about, with a lot of people just scared to go anywhere, scared to go to school, scared to go to work. You have Latino-owned businesses in Chicago and LA and other places seeing a significant drop in business because people just don't want to, they don't want to even go out to, you know, get something to eat. And you we're going into the holiday season, folks, where a lot of these businesses depend on that kind of thing. And here they have, you know, nothing, you know, they don't have any kind of income. I mean, it's really sad what's going on. And especially with a government shutdown, you have all of these people flipping out about it, you know? I mean, it's just insane, absolutely insane what's going on.
I'm sorry, but two things. I'm sick of the videos of people going like, I mean, it's like a flashback to, you know, the 70s and 80s.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have some trick-or-treaters in my house right now.
Good. Good.
Hello. Hello. I mean, it is 6 o'clock over here in DC, so we have some trick-or-treaters already out on the street.
Yeah.
Princesses, tigers, all kinds
I hope you're not giving them candy corn.
No, yeah. Skittles and all kinds of other stuff. Happy Halloween, folks.
I used to hate it when they gave out candy corn. Just the worst.
Yeah, no candy corn.
we're all traumatized by that.
So one of the things that we've been talking about is the all of these videos of all of these terrible things happening to people, and you know it's just really bad, you know. And you have the middle of a government shutdown here where October 31st. Today is the last day for a lot of SNAP recipients, you know, the old food stamps. And yep. A judge today said that the Trump White House has until Monday to come up with a reason why they're not extending the program. But here's the problem. What about tomorrow and Sunday? You know, if your benefits run out today, you still have to eat tomorrow and Sunday. So
if you don't have a kid, you can't even have candy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's really just an unbelievable situation that is going on right now. I mean, it's bad enough that the president went around and tore down the entire east wing of the White House.
My God, what the heck?
Got rid of the Rose Garden, got rid of the Jackie Kennedy Garden, which was one that was planted back in the 1960s by the First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. Tore down a couple of historic magnolia trees that were planted by Franklin Roosevelt and Warren Harding to make room for this ballroom, where all of a sudden, you know, we have $300 million to build a ballroom, $40 million to give to Argentina, but yet, you know, to extend, you know, social benefits and social services to the people who need it the most, you know, that's not happening. And Congress is still out. We have a Congresswoman-elect, Adelita Grijalva, who has not been sworn in. She represents the deciding vote on bringing to the floor of the House a vote on whether they should open up the Epstein files finally. And the House Speaker is saying, we can't swear her in until the House comes back, which is absolutely not true. So now she is the longest congressperson in waiting.
Is he going to swear her in when they get back? I mean, they're going to have to face it at some point.
Well, the state of Arizona is suing to get to swear her in. So they're, you know, that's going to go end up in the courts at some point. But this excuse that they needed to wait until the government is reopened is absolutely not true. It's a bunch of baloney. And it has happened that there have been special elections before, and she was elected to fill out the remaining couple of years of her father, Raul Grijalva, who passed away. And so this is not the first time that there's been somebody who's been elected in a time where not everyone else has been elected, and they've been sworn in the next day. So he's using an excuse, a ridiculous excuse. And at the same time, you know, trying to scare people on Halloween, or even scaring people by saying, we're going to send election monitors out to California for the Prop 50 election coming up, and we're going to send them to Virginia for the gubernatorial race, and we're going to send them, you know, and if you vote for the Muslim in New York, then, you know, all terrorism is going to hit the city. I mean, this is all part of a plan to keep the Republicans in office. And, you know, and Trump keeps saying, well, I was thinking about running for a third term, but, you know, I'm probably not going to do that. But, you know, he can't anyway. But here's the thing, you know, he may not be able to, but he's going to try and put in as many of his, you know, glad handers and yes men and yes women in there to continue his particular legacy down the road. This is part of that plan, you know.
I think he just hopes that he doesn't want to get indicted after he's out of office.
Well, that too. Yeah. I mean, and one of the things is that he doesn't want a repeat of 2018. And 2018, if you remember, was the Democrats won in the midterms and they ended up winning in 2020, the White House. And so he doesn't want the same thing to happen. And so they're doing all of these distracting and scare tactics to stop people from voting, to stop people from, you know, going to work, going to school, having ICE raids all over the place, arresting people who were here legally, even U.S. citizens. And again, being here in this country without documents, without papers, is not a crime. It is a civil offense. Okay. So, and there, and a lot of these people who have been arrested,
in some cases, it's called being a founding father.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Exactly. And then a lot of people came here before there were quotas, you know. Then this is the interesting thing about the U.S. history is that people could come in here, and then when the people who were running the country at the time looked around and said, oh, we got a lot of Jews and a lot of Chinese, a lot of Irish people, oh, a lot of Italians, and they started putting in quotas for people, you know. So when you hear anybody saying, oh, well, you know, my family came in here legally, a lot of that is complete baloney. And even if it's true, that doesn't mean that somebody who came here asking for asylum is not worthy of a court hearing, but with the Trump administration, it doesn't matter to them. And this is all part of that plan to keep a tight Republican grip on everything, including keeping the House, keeping the Senate, and keeping the White House.
With so many of these red states and these MAGA people that are clearly must be starting to realize that they voted against their own interests.
Oh, sure. I mean, and that's the funny thing about
this. They're going to blindly support this. How do you explain something that like that? I mean,
well, I think the Democrats have done an absolutely horrible job. They're finally getting it together, but they've done a really bad job of fighting back. For many years, they've been too nice, trying when they're, you know, you're talking about the high school football game earlier today. There's a thing called offense, you know, and they've been playing too much defense and not enough offense, right, and letting the Republicans run the narrative, including now with the government shutdown. You hear many more Republicans saying, oh, it's the Democrats. It's the Democrats' fault. And little by little, the Democrats are saying, no, actually, the Republicans are in charge of the White House. They're in charge of the House. They're in charge of the Senate. But it takes a while to finally get to that point where, you know, you can't be nice. I mean, Michelle Obama as first lady was a wonderful first lady, but when they go low, we go high has really permeated the Democratic Party's mantra to the detriment of the Democratic Party.
It becomes so bad that when they go low, I just get high.
I mean,
it's so hard to deal with.
And you look at some of the races that are gaining a lot of attention because in New York City, the mayoral race is the perfect example of the party leadership versus the ultra progressive left wing of the party. And people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez versus somebody like minority leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, where some of the party leadership is endorsing Andrew Cuomo, who left the governorship of New York under a huge cloud of sexual harassment, and he's running for mayor, and he's part of that whole psychotic kind of mantra of, well, if we vote for the other guy, you know, we're going to have terrorism, and, you know, things are going to be bad for the city. And this is one of the fundamental problems that the Democrats have had for a long time, is that they don't have one message. You know, the Republicans are really good with their talking points and everybody says the same thing, but the Democrats are much different in that they allow all of these dissenting voices to be out there saying all kinds of mixed messages, and people are saying, wait a minute, that this is not working for us. And they're starting to realize that. And a lot of people in the red states are starting to realize that true too, because the majority of people on public assistance happen to live in the red states.
Yeah, exactly. When their SNAP benefits run out, what are they going to say? Yeah, let's get Trump a third term. Is that what they're going to release?
Right. And you have the blue states in like California, New York, Illinois, and the city, the Washington, D.C., their mayors and governors are saying to the people that have public assistance, saying, we're going to dip into our own state funds and district funds to help you if you're on public assistance. A lot of the red state people aren't saying that.
This is not even touching on the Affordable Care Act, which they.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing too. You know,
their mamas and their papas and their pop pops all start dying because they can't get health care. Are they going to sing a different tune, or are they going to still stand by their Führer?
Well, that's what everyone is looking at, because one of the things that's really going to happen quite a bit is the Affordable Care Act premiums going up quite substantially because of the lack of tax credits, you know, or the tax credits expiring. So, you know, it's an interesting situation that's happening right now, you know. So,
well, it's either going to be an awakening or an ostrich head in the sand thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you think so? Yeah, thank you. Happy Halloween. Yeah, I got some more folks at my door here. Yes. Great costume.
Okay. I love it. Okay, you have to describe the costumes you're seeing.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing a couple of kids dressed as mermaids. There's a Superman costume, a Bluey costume. There was a kid last year, I'm hoping it comes again, wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase, and he said that he was coming as a lawyer handing out subpoenas. Very DC.
Hey, there's not like a George Santos running around there?
No, the zombies haven't shown up yet.
Or the Pinocchio.
So you know, so that's the situation here, is that we have a government that is you know, going into the fourth week of a shutdown with a lot of federal workers wondering, you know, when or if they're going to get paid, and the sad situation of people having to go to food banks and get other assistance, premiums that may skyrocket because the tax credits have not been renewed, and you know, SNAP benefits. Oh, and also Head Start programs. That's the other thing too, you know, that there some places have had to close down their child care and pre-K programs because of the lack of federal funds. And again, it's hitting a lot of people who initially voted for him, or in the states, in the red states, where you have all of these Republicans who are trying to defend themselves by saying it's the Democrats' fault. When again, the Democrats are not in charge of anything in Congress or at the White House.
I mean, when Republicans say that, I mean, don't they realize they're kind of saying, if it were true, you know, Democrats are holding us hostage and they have all the power over us. It's the weakest thing you could say, right? Like, but they're saying it. It's so dumb.
Exactly. I mean, it's a situation that there's just no end in sight right now, and it's starting to worry regular folks out there. But the good thing about this, if there is a silver lining to this, is that people are realizing, wait a minute, the party that says that they're for us, the working class party, or the party of the working class, the Republicans have always said that they are, turns out that they're not. And people are starting to realize that. And they're also seeing that, you know, the Democratic candidate for governor of Virginia, which is a state right next to DC, is running ahead of the Republican. The Democratic candidate in New Jersey for governor is running ahead of the Republican. The Democratic candidate in New York on the progressive side is expected to win by a very large margin. And this is sort of a good bellwether indicator for what may happen next year in the midterms. And you also have a president who flew down to Florida to go play golf this weekend while there's a government shutdown. And then he also went to South Korea and said, "Oh, we're going to bring back all kinds of I signed a trade agreement with South Korea to do some shipbuilding in Philadelphia." Not true at all. the shipyards of Philadelphia have not been functioning as shipyards probably since the 1950s.
Backlash. It's an emerging narrative, but it was happening before. Remember when the Republicans were doing this townhouses or these town hall meetings, and they had to shut it down because people were coming up and they were complaining and they were saying they were regretting their vote.
Oh yeah, and they weren't just complaining. It was like something out of the Frankenstein movie. They were yelling and screaming and coming with torches, you know.
Yeah, and I think that they're just trying to suppress their butter base that's revolting against them.
Absolutely. They're trying to scare people in every way that you can possibly imagine. By sending monitors to look at state elections. I mean, why does the federal government have to go monitor Prop 50 voting in California? The Prop 50 is a state thing. Same thing in New Jersey and New York and Virginia.
It's all Nazi tactics, right? You're just monitoring everyone, having people inform on each other, making people show their papers. It's just getting out of control.
And the Department of Labor came out with a bunch of posters about how America first, and we're for workers, and we're for working families, and we're for the American way. And they were all blonde, blue-eyed.
Those things are scary. They're like Aryan Nation propaganda. It's like...
Yeah.
And their hands were probably soft as babies' bottoms, never done a hard day's work in their lives.
It really did look like for a commercial for an Aryan youth, Hitler youth kind of propaganda.
It was not an exaggeration. I mean, it looked like AI, like they took, they said, make a Norman Rockwell World War II poster with a white.
They were probably like Aryan generated test tube babies that have just been waiting for their moment.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so that's what we're all waiting for in the next couple of weeks, is to see if they come to some sort of an agreement to reopen the government and see what's going to happen with the SNAP benefits, with the judge telling them on Monday, hey, you need to tell us why you can't be doing, why you're doing this. So you can't be cutting off millions of people just for the hell of it.
Just amazing. There was one thing I wanted to ask you about. Are we almost at war with Venezuela?
It almost feels like that, doesn't it? Yeah. Where we're finding all these little, quote unquote, drug boats with cartels out in the middle of the Pacific somehow, that these Venezuelans were, supposedly trying to bring drugs into the U.S., but they, there's all kinds of fuzzy international law kind of illegality in this.
Right, because it's totally illegal, but at some point after Trump authorized this, right, so who ultimately would be held responsible for these crimes if it ever, comes up?
Well, at some point it would have to go into the court system. I mean, the United States does not recognize the sovereignty of the international courts. So it would have to be litigated in the Supreme Court. So, we'll see what happens with that. And look, a couple more, Halloweeners. Are you hearing that? See, we're One of them is dressed as a Grim Reaper.
Is it one?
Yeah, go ahead and take a couple of them, you know.
Oh,
see, we're right on the air with a bunch of Halloween folks. All right,
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, and there's somebody dressed as one of the Supremes, you know.
Of course, as everyone knows, Halloween is the ultimate example of socialism.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone gets free candy.
Yes, exactly. You know, we got the Kit Kats, we got the Skittles, we got all the fun stuff here, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead. And then there's one that's dressed as a little SpongeBob and Squidward. So, you know, nothing too scary. All right, that's it. Go
Thank
ahead.
You.
All right. Well, yeah, so that's what's going on right now. In the middle of all of the serious discussion, we're doing candy.
That's good.
Well, Patricia Guadalupe, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power on this high holy day of Halloween. And I bet you those kids never thought their trick-or-treating would be broadcast across the country.
Hey, that's what's so fun about, you know, being here in the middle of the city when we're talking about things on Halloween. You know, you just never know what you might find, you know.
All right, Patricia, we will see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power. Have a great Dia de los Muertos also. I'm going to redraw a cartoon that I did of Trump Calavera.
Oh, yeah. We'll see
call
that.
It, this time I'm going to do the whole altar, call it the most anticipated Day of the Dead altar.
Yeah, that'll be. And you know, for all of you Dodgers fans out there, we'll see what happens tonight, you know.
Híjole, it's spooky as heck.
Yeah,
game
well.
Starts you know. At 5. We're projecting the game at my house outside on a big screen. So come on by.
Well, hopefully no one will throw any eggs at it, you know.
No, that's a cardinal sin around here.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens next week, folks, and see if the government has come back and what has happened with the food stamps and everything else. I mean, one of the things that you have to always remember when you're listening to a show like this, that no matter how depressing some of the news is, there's always candy to be had and some good joking back and forth, and we always give you the news, good, bad, and you know, sort of in the middle. So we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, we will, and we can't predict it.
Good, the bad, and the dangerously diabetic.
You know, that sounds like a good bumper sticker for a doctor. All right, well, good luck with your Dodgers, but I don't know if this year might be bad juju since the owner is a co-owner of one of the detention centers out there. So
I think there's a lot of brujas poking dolls and burning candles and
well if Toronto wins, at least they don't have to go to the White House. Think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, folks. We're right. Talking. We'll be talking next week then.
Thank you, Patricia Guadalupe. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. And we'll be right back with more Pochismo and also the Speedy Gonzalez Sports Report.
Hold on.
And hopefully some spooky music.
Ooh. Right. Check it out.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. Game 6 of the World Series begins at 5 this evening on Fox. The Dodgers must win their last two games to repeat as World Series champions. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the mound after pitching two complete games this postseason. UCLA football is on a bye, but 23rd-ranked USC is on the road at Nebraska tomorrow at 4:30 on NBC. The Rams are back at home against the Saints on Sunday. Fresh off a bye, they'll look to keep pace with Seattle and San Francisco in the NFC West race. The Chargers are on the road against the Titans Sunday at 10 in the morning. They'll look to do the same in the AFC West race. The Lakers play the Grizzlies on the road this evening at 6:30 on Prime Video. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
I'm so thrilled. It's so thrilling to be on the Pocho Hour Power here on KPFK 90.7 FM on Halloween. In the middle of one of the scariest years we've ever had. I don't want to see 2026 top this year, but who knows? They're just getting started, I think. So anyway, we are joined here on the Pocho Hour powered by our man in New Mexico from Axios. It is Russell Contreras. Russell, welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power, man. What is going on? Is it spooky out there?
It is totally spooky here. I got the candy. I've got the meth. I mean, the M&Ms are ready to go. We got to go. It got to go, and I'll be staying home while the kids go get the trick-or-treating, and I'm here to sit and talk to you while people knock on my door and try to sell what they're selling, or and I return give them candy to live another day. Lots of great costumes out here. Lots of Breaking Bad. Lots of ghouls. Lots of ghosts. Let's do it.
Woo! Is there a New Mexico Halloween tradition or something that, like, you know, I don't know. Are there any like Spaniards in armor walking around? I mean, is there something crazy?
We do have our share of Spaniards walking around. They try to take, like I said, they knock on your door and they try to take your land. And since I'm half here, I tell them that, look, I don't have the mansion on that hill that you see. That's actually Lalo's. He owns that place when he comes into town, up there on the hill of Placidas. But there are some that go here. A lot of lowrider ghouls that walk around. That's kind of a thing. I pulled out my lowrider hybrid plug-in. It didn't get a lot of positive feedback up in Old Town, but we're ready to go.
All right, that's great. You know, in my neighborhood, it's the neighborhood where kids from across the city, or at least on the east side, take a, you know, it's like almost like chartered buses come full of trick-or-treaters to get.
Yes, definitely here. I mean, I live by two reservations, so we get a lot of res kids that come out here.
Oh, that's thinking, cool.
Yeah, thinking it's really cool. And they have some really elaborate costumes, so it's always great. This week, of course, was really busy. My end of California reporting. We did talk about Coachella Valley. Interesting thing that's going on that many listeners don't know, there are a number of evangelicals who are, quote, quietly quitting Trump and MAGA. I talked to some folks, some evangelicals and Catholics who were uneasy with Trump's rhetoric and his immigration policies. They've subtly distanced themselves from MAGA and taken some of their congregation members with them. We're seeing this quiet quitting trend as pastors avoid political sermons and help members disengage with the Trump movement without making family feel tired. One guy I talked to, Richard Lorgas, he's a Catholic ex-MAGA guy. He formed a group called Leaving MAGA, which you can download manuals on how to talk to your relatives about leaving MAGA. The main thing there, he says, you cannot do name calling. You have to do things like information barter, listening, because people are in this space. If you were a MAGA person or conservative, you usually got in this space because you think everybody is not listening to you. So in order to engage with them, you have to listen and see what they're coming with. And that was the manual suggest if you want to disengage a family member from MAGA.
Yeah, because it's like a cult. So if you want to leave, you have to realize that there's a certain amount of deprogramming that's been going on with you. And these people are going to question your leaving the cult, right?
Yeah, if you feel that way, and also you cannot announce it if you are involved in the MAGA spaces. When we say MAGA spaces, you're going to rallies, you're participating in organizations, you're marching in the streets and doing that sort of thing right along with your truck. It's not because you support Trump. It's that you're involved in all these active civil societies. And what they say is,
right?
Yeah, it's become another form of family because people are not attending church. They're not joining all these organizations. It's very difficult to leave a set community, whatever it's organized around. And what Leaving MAGA and all these organizations says, you have to take that consideration. If you take them out of the space, where are you going to put them? They need community. They need to be listened to. And that's the key if you want to get somebody to leave MAGA.
Yeah, I'm not trying to deprogram anybody, but I do talk to my neighbor where my fancy art studio is at, and he probably doesn't listen to the show, so it's safe to say, but he's a nice guy, but kind of believes everything on the MAGA side, and it's pretty, I mean, he made a crack he didn't like the way that deportations and all the ICE raids are being kidnapping and all that. He did say that. His kids are half Mexican. So, you know, I thought that was a little progress or something, and maybe things are sliding back, but I miss regular Republicans.
He doesn't agree with, kidnapping in the streets, but, you know, not a lot of people agree with that. So it is
very unpopular. It's true.
An unpopular thing.
But,
unless you're ultra racist.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to find out he's not ultra racist. He's a nice guy. I like him. And I'm glad he's my neighbor. But yeah, we can't talk about certain things because I just start shaking my head and saying, like, you know, your BS detector is broken. You can't see this. And he says, well, I have my sources. Okay, well.
And that's the deal, is what the Leaving MAGA folks says, is they're usually in conservative media spaces where those media outlets are affirming, not informing. Yeah. So in the information barter, you're like, hey, look, I'll read something. Give me something. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, where you get information. I'll share you. That's where you can have a discussion. And on that note, we do have a new poll out of the Public Religion Research Institute that showed Black and Latinos are reporting high levels, record levels, of alienation and pessimism about the nation's direction. This is, of course, as Trump tightens his focus on immigration enforcement and civil rights rollbacks. According to the poll, more Latinos supported in Trump in 2024 than two presidential terms. But early in his second term, this sense of exclusion has deepened among communities of color. Nearly two-thirds of Americans believe the U.S. is headed the wrong direction. But of all racial groups, Black Americans and Latinos, 84% of Black Americans and 70% of Latinos are the most dissatisfied with the country's direction. In addition, 60% of Black Americans say their economic situation has worsened in this year. Very few people, Black or Latinos, feel view Trump favorably. Only 16% of Black voters and 30% of Latinos view Trump favorably. This is coming right before the elections, which are next week, and before the 2026 numbers. But interesting enough, Democrats aren't picking up the support. That's because both sides say both parties are going in the wrong direction. They do not represent us. So right now, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with Trump, but there's not a lot of satisfaction with the Democrats.
So is this a recipe when you don't vote, just apathy?
That's a tool for apathy. That's right. If there you don't see an option, why would you engage in politics? If I go to the polls and I don't like who's there, you know, either running, why would I vote? And someone said, we got to vote for the less of two evils. Well, you know the cliche, you're still voting for evil.
Yeah, voter apathy is really something that allows, you know, certain parties to gain because they count on people not voting.
That's right. And interesting, on that note, when I went to California, I stumbled upon a really interesting story. Did you know this upcoming election, both next week and 2026, we're seeing a high number of white pastors running for office as Democrats. There is this Christian middle that's moving up. They are pressuring Democrats to go after faith voters. They say there's about 15 persuadable faith voters, persuadable Christian voters, that if you can bring them into the Democratic column, the Democrats could take both the House and Senate and really fundamentally change the politics. I talked to one guy who is organizing this. He's a pastor in the Midwest. He's saying there's about 30 or so white pastors who are running for office as Democrats, some in some swing districts. They talk about faith differently. They're talking about Jesus as someone who is supporting the poor and the stranger, not as someone who's a nationalist and militaristic character. They say if you do this, you're going to persuade voters. The problem, Democrats don't go after faith voters. They really don't have a platform. They don't discuss anything. That's because the Democratic faith base is very diverse, and they assume that if you are a Christian or any kind of faith, you're automatically right-wing. That's not the case. These folks say the Democrats need to change or forever wander in the wilderness of political irrelevance.
If only they could come up with a candidate who was half Irish, half Mexican, called Jesus Kennedy. Maybe there would be a chance.
There are some Latino Kennedys out there, and they are there. The problem is Democrats do not promote them. They don't even promote Latino candidates. If you look at the governor's race out in California, you have two Latino candidates. They're polling in the low digits. Yes, it's early, but the Democratic Party isn't rallying around them, and that's what some folks say is the problem.
Hey, I'm here. This is Beto Kennedy Jr. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Beto, what's going on? I remember hanging out with you in Boston. That's
really like tacos with steroids. You're all invited to the steroid asada this weekend.
No, you made me eat corned beef and cabbage tacos, which was the grossest thing I've ever had when I was in Boston.
Oh, no. Vote for me. Vicks Vapor Rub, it causes autism, so don't take that.
Oh, I know who you are. No, yeah, you're right. It wasn't a pleasant experience, so thank you. And lastly, before I go, something to keep in, and I'll tease you for something's coming up next week. Did you know, we've talked about this on the show before, churches are closing at a record number. About 15,000 churches are expected to close by the end of the year, and also church attendance is down. But churches and faith leaders have a plan. They're actually creating AI bots and chat bots of Jesus so you can engage with Jesus through an AI bot. Yes, you heard that right.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Exactly.
There is a hologram too? Is this going to be like a hologram experience?
No, they're like programs or apps called like Text with Jesus, where Jesus can text you in the morning and say, "Hi, my child. I just wanted to say hi." And you can say, "You know, Jesus, I have a really tough meeting this morning. I'm filled with anxiety." Jesus can text you back and say, "Don't worry, my child," and send you a Bible passage. Some of these apps, not only can you talk to Jesus, but you can talk to St. Paul and Mary and even Judas. And in fact, in one app, you can go in and change the format and actually go one-on-one with Satan. I want to download that app because I'd love to get Satan's feedback.
I think all the goth kids are going to go for that one.
Yeah. As an Astros fan, I'd love to text Satan. It's like, "Hey, how can we beat these Dodgers next year?"
We know you have that.
Yeah, and churches are also using this. And how, if I'm ready to give a sermon, I can go to these chat programs and say, "How can I take what happened this week and make it relevant to my congregation?" A lot of folks say, interesting is great, but poses a question. Who is controlling the flock? And who is this? Is it God or is it algorithms? We'll bring that next week here on the Pocho Hour Power from Axios.
Can I make my Alexa into Jesus? So like in the morning, I'll go, "Jesus Christ."
No, that's his Seuss. You're going in the wrong direction.
Can I have Jesus guide me when I'm driving the streets of LA on my GPS? I need his guidance.
No, that one you're going to need Luke.
Take a look on La Brea, my son.
No, I was there earlier this month in Los Angeles. You don't need Jesus. You need the Book of Revelations. because I-10 is actually a pit of fire. I don't know. I would go all the way to Coachella Valley when I felt that heat. Yeah, that's a pit of fire. So Jesus can't help you there. He has no business on I-10. Trust me.
That's why they call it Hell LA.
Russell, when you were out here, what did you feel about L.A., California? What's your take on what's going on now?
Well, I spent most of my time there in the Coachella Valley, as we talked about last time. I went down and talked to farm workers. And what I found in places like Mecca, California, was that a lot of farm workers, especially undocumented, were scared. They weren't going out. And their fear is that many of these families are starving because they're not working. If they're not working, they're not getting money. And your kids who are U.S. born are not going to school. There's a lot of fear. At the same time, there are a lot of networks, especially Catholic groups, that have formed these really interesting cliques where they're reporting to each other when they see Border Patrol. Border Patrol is out there, not ICE. They're texting. There's text alerts. So they're trying to come together and protect the community. They're giving food banks. I was out there in Mecca, California, where they were giving food that would last for three or four days, and there was a long line of people, farm workers. You get inspired by what the community does outside of politics, but I got to tell you, how long can this go on? How long can you do this? Eventually, there's going to be a breaking point, and that's where I'm worried about as a reporter, what could happen.
Yeah, I mean, can this go on for 4 years? Three more years? I don't know.
It's difficult. And the opposition, you have to remember, are divided. I did see a lot of faith-based folks working to resist Trump, again, arguing that Jesus was a voice of the oppressed. But you also see divisions within them saying that you need to go in a direction and fight Trump this way. Keep in mind that they're worried about starvation. They're worried about inflation. That's where the division is. If you cannot bridge these two and you're talking over each other, the opposition's going to have a really tough time when the election's coming up.
Right, right. And a lot of people make comparisons. But the thing about Jesus and Trump, the one thing they did have in common is that they did hang out with a lot of sex workers. But Jesus for a different reason, obviously. And Trump for his own personal reasons. But, what about the Epstein files? Is anything going to come with that?
Well, I don't know about the Epstein files. I mean, that's going to be an issue that's coming up, and I don't think it's going away. But I will say, Jesus also hung out with the tax collectors and the lepers. And the tax collectors right now are being shut out because there is a government shutdown. And if this continues all the way past Thanksgiving, I think both sides are going to get hit hard, even the Democrats. I know the Democrats are rallying. They're very excited about it. But I've got two friends who work in the federal government. One at the Department of Interior, the other works at Los Alamos. They're not happy because they have two children and there's no money coming in. I don't think everybody is thinking about these people here. If you're talking about esoteric things, we're going to stand Trump. Eventually, the rank and file people are going to turn on you, and that's where you're going to have problems.
Right, yeah. Well, there's been a number of, or a few military people have come out against Trump and his actions with militarizing the cities, right?
Right. And something to keep in mind, we also have an election next week in New York where the Democratic establishment has not been strongly supportive of Ron Mondani. You also have another candidate out here in Albuquerque, Alex Zubayas, son of Max Zubayas, L.A. rock legend. He's running for governor, or running for mayor out in Albuquerque against a Democrat, Tim Keller. Those are things to watch. In Seattle, also Democrats.
How is he doing in the polls out there?
He was like third or fourth, so he's got him coming too to make the runoff. And if he does, there's a good chance he could possibly win. You also have an election in Seattle. A very progressive person has challenged established Democrat there. If you see these things, this could be a kind of a pulse of where the Democratic Party is going and how it will be challenging Republicans in 2026. Something to keep your eye out on.
Wow. Yeah, I can't wait for the New York election. That's going to be wild.
Yeah. And of course, you have your election coming up in Los Angeles. Karen Bass is looking for re-election, and you have a governor's race there. California is going to kind of give us a hint to where we're going in the presidential election. And of course, you may have one California governor currently serving who may run for president. California is going to be big as the election house. So you have the proposition there for your redistricting. All things we should be watching. We'll bring here from Axios, the Pocho Hour Power.
That's right. You know, I watched the Chicago politicians and I think, and maybe this is unfair to Karen Bass, but I think, damn, they're kicking butt over there, and they really responded using all their political tools, all their laws, legal. They're really fighting back. Not to mention the people are fighting back like crazy because the Chicago people are crazy, and it's beautiful to watch. But I wonder. Maybe it's unfair because we were the first ones to get hit by ICE and all that. And we it's a steep learning curve from there, you know?
Exactly. And also you have to keep in mind in Chicago, there is a black-brown coalition that's forming. That's very interesting. The Black-Brown Coalition is the one that got the current mayor elected. Also got the mayor, Karen Bass, elected here. So something is going on in Chicago, but I would also say in Wisconsin and Houston, places they're bubbling up. This isn't going away as ICE, there's raids going on in Chicago, and the population's responding differently. You don't go and tell people in Chicago what to do. That's always going to be a response. I don't even walk into a pizzeria and tell them how...
They don't have sunny winters in Chicago.
They're a different
breed of people.
I didn't even tell them how to make my pizza when I go to Chicago. I offer suggestions, and I hope they give me what I suggested. You know, I'm suggesting pepperoni. They're like, no, you need pepperoni and mozzarella, and you need sausage. I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, that's what you need. You got a problem with that? No, I don't. I just go with it, and that's just the way it is.
Yes, sir.
I asked someone for directions in Chicago once, and they're like, yeah, you got to go down here and do this, and then I'm like, thank you, and I'm walking away. Hey, no, where are you going? I'm not done talking to you.
You got your whole day planned
out. I'm not finished giving you directions.
Yeah, even, you know, when I was in Pilsen is a historic Mexicano neighborhood. I'll go out there. And I asked them, what kind of food is this? They're like, Mexican. I was like, yeah, what region? They're like, it's Mexican. It's in Chicago. like this is where it is. Yeah. This is the heart of the country. I'm like, well, I'm from Texas.
I love Pilsen. Pilsen's great.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Russell Contreras, we don't want to tell you what to do, but we got to go. So thank you for joining us in the Butcher Hour Power.
Okay.
And on this spooky Halloween, we want to thank Patricia Guadalupe also. Want to thank D'Angelo Jones and Speedy Gonzalez, Charlie Gonzalez on the boards, and I want to thank you, Esteban.
And I want to thank Jaime Casillas for our new theme song,
the beautiful theme song.
And I want to thank you, Lalo. We can't keep this going without you. So keep doing it. We love you. Ahoy!
Ahoy! Gets me every time. All right, guys. Thank you, and happy Halloween, everybody. Watch our power out.
Tune in for some fresh raps and classic cuts right here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and beyond on some breakbeats and rhymes.
Breakbeats and rhymes. Big thanks, baby, yo.
You're tuned into Breakbeats and Rhymes Radio.
Hey, yo, y'all can't stand right here. In his right hand was your man's worst nightmare. Loud enough to burst his right eardrum close range. The game is not only dangerous, but it's most strange.